Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are Reclaiming the Republic, and this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. And you're listening to the only show. Believe it or not, I've looked and I've listened. No other show asserts anything close to a tangible solution that will get the federal government back into compliance to the Constitution. Not even ideas out there, such as the Convention of States and so forth, or the Article 5 process. And that is why I can boldly assert, and you can also assert to your friends as the show continues to grow, that this really is the only show that has the solution for fixing our constitutional crisis. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. Again, that is 215-867-8255. As you probably know, and I've said this, I try to say this as often as I can, this show is dedicated to those leaders who are putting themselves on the line because they're willing to stand up to the federal tyranny, which means that they're standing up for all of us. In addition, we also support and we're dedicated to helping those grassroots leaders, which are those county central committees or the district, legislative district central committees, that are responsible for who those people are that are getting those endorsements, the employers of those politicians, so to speak. So it's really important that we focus on really where the solutions are and who has the authority and the ability to really make those types of impacts upon our election and upon our leadership. So that is kind of why we are in this situation of supporting who we are and why we do that, just so you understand. I also want you to know that we have this video of me providing insights on this solution, what I call Republic Review. I believe that if Jefferson and Madison would have named what they did in 1798, I believe it just stands to reason that it would have been Republic Review, because they did look at the nation not as a national entity, but as a republic. And so if you go watch this, and how do you find this link? If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, go to the Take Action page. If you scroll down a little bit underneath the PDF slide presentations that I provide you, that I actually give in these presentations, then by all means, go check it out. Just click on the YouTube link and it will take you to that presentation. Just watch the first 30 minutes. If you want to have a full movie session, then you can watch the entire presentation with the questions and answers, and then the second presentation. And I would even say if you want to charge admission, that's okay. That's okay by me if you want to do that. Anyway, I also want to make note of the fact that we're well over 1,000. I think we're clicking up to 2,000 as far as independent views on that. And it's really sad because that thing has almost been out there for a year. And I know that very critical people have seen it. A few people have been critical of it because they have been, at least if you go online and you look on the Reclaiming the Republic YouTube channel, you'll see that somebody who is completely engrossed in the concept of corporate America or the U.S. corporation, and they can't see the forest through the trees, because bottom line, that is another distraction, just like the EPA, just like the Department of Energy. It is all unconstitutional. We, the people, did not authorize that through the Article 5 process. They just assumed that they could do it, and they did it. And so we've got a big mess to clean up. And if you didn't know, those folks that have the authority to clean this mess up are our state legislators, which is why Jefferson and Madison didn't take it upon themselves to call up an army or form a society of educators what they did was they went to the state of Kentucky and Virginia and taught those state legislators what they needed to do, and they set the example. And if, as I've said this before, if you go and read the Virginia and the Kentucky resolutions, you will come to the epiphany that that's exactly what they did, was what I call Republic Review. They audited the Constitution, they called out the violations and so forth, and they literally called upon their fellow states to join them in a committee of correspondence in going after the federal government and forcing them to comply. The problem is that they never could get the states together. I truly believe that there are plenty of red states that are so fed up with federal tyranny, and they would love to have full control of their destiny and their resources once again, that it just hurts my head to think, you know, why, how do we need to get this out into their hands? Well, that's you. That's what, you know, I need everybody that is a part of this to actually start helping to propagate this. So that's why you may want to show this to your, you know, kids' birthday parties or block parties or what have you, so that people start getting the message and understanding that it's a contract and the state legislators have the authority and responsibility to audit that said contract. Anyway, I will jump into this little bit of news on the crowdfunding. I did hear back from GoFundMe, and my IT department hasn't gotten it right. I'm going to have to fire them again, and we'll have to, you know, update some information, because they are not posting the campaign until that information is provided. So therefore, I am kind of in a hovering pattern, and I hope to get this all done. Unfortunately, I don't think GoFundMe has a lot of great support over the weekend, so it's going to be between now and hopefully Monday that we can get this done. That way the campaign can be up, because I do know that there are some candidates. If you go to the candidate endorsement page on Reclaiming the Republic, there are a couple of candidates out there that could really use some funding. And unfortunately, they don't even have a website or anything else. They're just kind of literally lurching forward and trying to take on, you know, all of these government usurpations and all of these other problems regarding our republic. So anyway, I am going to just leap forward and do some groveling here. And that groveling is, I need your help. And as a matter of fact, I've been telling you not to send me money, and I appreciate those who have offered, and some have. I appreciate that. What I'm going to do with that said money that I have been given is that's going to go into this GoFundMe account, or actually it's going to go into that bank account, so that I can actually transfer money from the Reclaiming the Republic or Moby Strip Press LLC over to some of these candidates so that they can get what they need to get across the finish line. Just so you understand, I am committed to this. It's not a commitment to me. And as a matter of fact, this is not a money-making scheme. This can't be a money-making scheme, or it would fail. And an ideologue like myself would literally be, I don't want to say ruined, but I mean, I would not be able to self-actualize what this is all about. And this is not all about the individual. James Madison did not become James Madison because he was trying to create, you know, a trademark and a brand of James Madison. What James Madison was doing was pursuing what was the best and for the betterment of society, what was best for the Republic and their posterity. All of the framers were in this boat. And so we're kind of all in that same boat as well. And you notice that there's lots of people out there that are really into, you know, this work. In some respects, I call this a ministry. And if you really think about it, I want you to think about it for a second. Look at some of these big time entertainers. It is almost like they're evangelicals. If you listen to the, you know, the different radio shows that you can tune into, like right now, go ahead and just hop around and come on back, because we're going to be moving forward in the George Washington farewell addresses and tie this all together for you. But if you hop around and go ahead and listen to these other shows, you will notice that it's more like an evangelical ministry where they're, you know, you need them to be able to purge yourself of your frustrations, and they're going to think clearly for you, and they're going to help you get through the night. I don't know how we got here, but I can honestly tell you that it's almost like, you know, prophets and false prophets and so forth, and they're all basically telling you that they've got the answer. I'll ask you this. Go look and examine what they're offering or they're purporting, and then come to reclaimingtherepublic.org right there on the homepage. Go through my arguments and be the first one to refute academically what I am asserting. I would love it. Then I can go off and do some other things and actually get a job and make money. Because, like I said, the money that comes in is going into this cause. So, anywho, I invite you to scrutinize and thoroughly examine who's asserting what and really where those solutions are. Because I don't do this with pride. I don't know why. You know, sometimes we wonder, why me? Why was I given this? Why is this my responsibility? But you can't shirk your responsibilities either way. So, anywho, if you want to help, by the way, because now's a great time to grovel, if you want to get involved, then just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and that kind of shocked me that we're already at a break. So we will be right back after a word from our sponsors, and we will be jumping into some news as well as the farewell address by George Washington. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I was groveling for people to, if you can support, what we're looking for is leaders. And I truly believe there's plenty of leaders out there. The problem is that most leaders or most people that want to get into leading, they get into this headstrong idea that they have all the answers. And the framers didn't do that. As they led, they put aside their biases and how they perceive things. They put aside their self-interest and their differences with each other to work together. And so if you have the capacity of putting aside your biases, your differences, and your self-interests, and you want to really make America, or help get America back on the course that the framers put us on, then you're more than welcome to help. And it's info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. There's plenty of room at this table for everybody to help and participate. There's 50 states, and who knows, there may be a lot more soon as some of these state ideas move forward. So, you know, I should say state splits ideas, and that concept moves forward for the who's going to be the 51st state, maybe Puerto Rico. Hopefully not. I think Puerto Rico has a lot of changes it needs to adapt before it really comes on board. And as a matter of fact, now is the time for Congress to actually do their job and define what a Republican form of government is, because we need to start shifting paradigms back onto what our real form of government is. And I kind of make a point of this, excuse me, in my new audio, excuse me, got a frog in my throat. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the candidate endorsement page, I put up an introduction to the leaders, or actually I call them the framers of our future. And those are the people that are on that page that have signed the pledge that are willing to protect their constituents as well as all of us from federal tyranny. So I want you to kind of, you know, put that into your mind model and start understanding that anybody can do this if you start understanding the importance of what we have to do to ensure that people maintain their liberties and their sovereignty. And so go check out that introduction, and then I'm going to be posting actual personal introductions to each of these candidates, and I'm looking forward to hopefully adding more while the primaries and the general election moves forward. So with that being said, let me kind of cover some news, because it is interesting. As I started yesterday talking about the religious predestination or predisposition of our republic, and in the news we hear today that there was a conviction, I think it was in Texas or Arizona or somewhere, where a man was convicted of honor killing. Now, that's not a Christian ideology, or I should say a tenet or principle of Christianity. That happens to be a tenet of Islam. And so I've spoken a lot about this, and I write about this in my book, that how can you have somebody become a citizen of an ideological government that is based upon individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and yet the religion and the tenets of that religion will not allow individual liberty and sovereignty to thrive? It demands that government be a theocracy. In other words, it is an ideology that is the antithetical and the literally the diametrically opposing force of our Constitution. Does that make sense? I mean, how is it that we would allow somebody that believes in that doctrine to be able to become and embrace our full citizenship in our constitutional republic? Because as they take their arm to the square and they swear to deny allegiances to all others, which would mean that faith as well, because it's not necessarily an allegiance of faith, but if you understand that everything in the name for Allah goes in the face, because that means subjugation to all of oneself and all others. And so that is where we completely diverge from Islam and a nation of freedom. But the important thing is, we weren't just a nation of freedom. We were a nation based on the fundamental principles of Christianity and its doctrines of liberty and sovereignty. And so before I get into Washington's, some more segments of Washington's farewell address, I mentioned yesterday that John Jay talked about in the Second Federalist paper about the obvious thing that nobody mentioned, and he really kind of highlights this in that Federalist Paper article. But I want to get through a couple of other things before I get started on the citations. What I want to do is give you some marketing because I think it's time to help promote and help motivate those of us who still haven't committed to really stepping in and helping and becoming a part of change. And so I just want to give you a really good reason why we have to be resolved in calling for each of these states and helping one state get started, such as Wyoming, to call for republic review. And so if you haven't heard, and I've said this before, it doesn't matter whatever President Trump does, because the next politician, the next bureaucrat that comes up into the line is literally going to revert and go right back to the progressive, green, secular progressive ideologies and ramming these things down our throat and subjugating us to their theology. And so, in the news, if you hadn't heard, the new EPA acting chief, Andrew Wheeler, reversed an order issued by Scott Pruitt in his last days as agency administrator that allowed manufacturers to equip new semi trucks with the old, and I'm going to quote this, super polluting diesel engines, close quote. And the fact is that diesel is a much cleaner exhaust than what comes out of cars. And the fact is that it's not that they're super polluting. It's the fact that they're actually more efficient. And I have a hard time understanding why you're not getting this, or why too many people aren't understanding that the real threat isn't who's in the office. The real threat is who has the authority. The states have the authority over the environment. This should be happening at the state level, not at the federal level. We never want to give them this authority. These are the guys with guns that go fight wars. The responsibility, as Madison clearly put in the Federalist Papers, the responsibility of the states is over domestic issues. If we want to create a collective polity of managing certain roles, responsibilities, and powers of domestic matters, whether that be law enforcement, of creating all these laws, then that's something that the states need to do and stand up separate from the federal government. The federal government is not the end all of polities. Therefore, there can be another entity, polity created to allow the management and strategies to be formed by the states and by state control, and not by the globalists and those who are working, actually, because they have control over our domestic matters, they're working at our demise and they're working against us. And if you don't recognize this and what they're doing here, because these are the same engines that they use around the world. It's just trying to make us less efficient and paying more money for these green entities. It's just like Obama with Kaiser and a lot of his friends, that he ended up paying them in millions of dollars, actually billions of dollars of money that went after, it was good money after bad ideas of green energy, whether they be solar panels and wind turbines. And now every state has a certain amount of wind turbine farms, or most every state has these wind turbine farms and other green energy crap that is absolutely inefficient and raising the cost of energy as well as dragging the production of their states down. We got to get out of this. When are you going to be convinced that we actually have to step in and rip these things away from the federal government that they have no business doing? I mean, seriously, what's it going to take? I mean, what do we need to be attacked again? I pray to God, and I hope not, but sometimes it requires a real catastrophic event for people to actually make change. A good example in the Bible would be the prodigal son, right? I mean, he had to literally be fighting for food with the pigs to be able to recognize that he could have a better life if he just changed his direction. And that's the same thing for all of us. Anyway, there's one other thing, or maybe two, that I may want to mention to you. And there's this Soleimani, who's some general in Iran. And it's kind of funny how he's injecting himself into this rhetoric of war and so forth. And when I heard what he was saying, I go, this guy sounds like he's looking to create a Baghdad Bob position for Iran, where he just wants to stoke the flames and say, and what he said was, if Trump wants to start a war, then Trump will destroy all that he owns. And I'm going, come on, really? Anyway, we're at a hard break, and so I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And have you ever heard anybody state that America was founded on the entrepreneurial spirit? And you kind of scratch your head and goes, well, really? Was it really? And actually, if you look at the historical context, our America, the United States, or the colonies that created it, the very first colony and the first purpose of England coming here to establish what? A colony of commerce for the ability to support and prop up for individuals to come over here producing tobacco or what have you, to produce products to help prop up the British mercantile economy. And so it truly was, and if you understand the entrepreneurial spirit, is something where people want to assume risks to be able to do something. I was in a conversation with somebody regarding what had gone on in Wyoming and why Wyoming, I guess, I don't know the real numbers, but it's well over 100,000. I think it's somewhere closer to 200,000. Their population has actually dipped in the past few years because when the cost of oil dropped under 50 barrels and when OPEC was working arduously to try to crush all these shale oil companies that were actually making a lot of money, because they knew for these companies to actually make money, they have to, you know, be able to extract oil, or the Shell pricing, which was about $50 a barrel for their cost just to make a profit. So when they drove the cost of oil down underneath that, then all of a sudden they, you know, these companies either turned off their lights, some of them went bankrupt and they've gotten bought up, or they just sat and they've been waiting for the next opportunity. Well, when oil actually went above $50, a lot of these companies had a hard time starting up, and the ones that did, the question is, who owns them? Are they OPEC countries owned, or Shell companies that own them? And just interestingly, in the news, apparently the signs are that there is not an anticipation that the cost of oil is going to dip under 50 again, or at least British Petroleum is making a huge risk in buying up some of these Shell oil reserves and or lands, or access to these lands. And the funny thing is, where are they buying these rights from? They're buying these rights from the federal government. And they may be paying the states a little bit, but that is really states' land. That is states' property, and the people of the states are not going to be able to capture or recognize the actual profits that they should be able to get. They may get profits off of, you know, what gets pumped out, but they are not getting profits on the use of their land or what have you. So that is why most of the Western states, I believe, are really kind of fired up with this concept of being able to take back their property, because the federal government, if you've seen the maps before, the federal government owns way too much property in the West. Actually, all of it's unconstitutional except for this military bases and training facilities and or needful federal buildings. I've had plenty of questions on the show regarding the constitutionality of any type of reservation, whether it be for forests and so forth, and they do not have the constitutional founding or base to be able to do that. They have never amended the Constitution to be able to do that. So, with all that said, I just think it's interesting that this is starting to pan out, and that you're finding British Petroleum and maybe some other companies are saying, you know, it might be a good lucrative opportunity to kind of invest in this and move forward with this this entrepreneurial spirit. Anyway, let me jump into these Federalist Papers first. Federalist Paper number 2. This is John Jay. Now, who is John Jay? Most people know him for the failed Spanish treaty in trying to come up with a treaty of the waterways and being able to use the Mississippi for access on the backside of, you know, the existing United States, because the Mississippi was kind of out in the frontier area. So we were looking at being able to move commerce up and down the Mississippi, and we had to have a treaty with Spain. That being said, Spain, you know, gave us this treaty that was really crappy, and and everybody, it kind of excoriated John Jay. But does anybody know where John Jay was before he went to go do that treaty? And I can tell you, John Jay was instrumental in working with the British in the treaty over the First Revolution, when we were trying to get, you know, Britain, and Britain was trying to get us to kind of agree that, you know, they would stop impressing, that we would give them the properties, and it was going back and forth. But John Jay was involved in that as well. And that's probably why he was handpicked to go and try to come up with a treaty with Spain. Anyway, John Jay was actually the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court before he was picked to go do that treaty. And so when he was done and kind of, I'll just say, you know, not feeling too proud because everybody was, you know, just riding him over what he brought home, they offered him the ability to go back to the Supreme Court. And his basic comment, and I'm paraphrasing, is he saw the Supreme Court as really a do-nothing position because it only gets involved when there happens to be a difference or a contractual problem. At that point in time, they did not assume the concept of judicial review, because that was considered unconstitutional. They didn't have that jurisdiction. And under John Jay, they weren't going to have that jurisdiction. So when he was offered the seat back, had he took it, there may have been a complete different change in the course of America. I just want to throw that out there, because a lot of people really did look at that and go, you know, had he gone back, he probably would not have made the usurpation that John Marshall did, because John Marshall was under the tutelage of Hamilton at the time in assuming implied powers, and probably would not have judicial review. And I believe that it would be likely that John Jay would have ensured that the Supreme Court maintained its jurisdiction within the enumerated powers and did not wander beyond that. And we probably would have had plenty of cases where he would have said, hey, you know what, that is well outside our jurisdiction, because you hear me say that all the time. I would love to start hearing the Supreme Court acknowledging the fact that they have no jurisdiction, but why would they want to do that? Because that would be almost self-effacing, right? Anyway, I really digressed here. I apologize. Let me get into what John Jay says here. He says, with equal pleasure, I have as often taken notice that Providence has been pleased to give this one connected country to one united people, a people descended from the same ancestors, speaking the same language, here it is, folks, professing the same religion, attached to the same principles of government, very similar in their manners and customs, and who, by their joint councils, arms, and efforts, fighting side by side throughout a long and bloody war, have nobly established general liberty and independence. So he's really calling out the fact that, you know, here we are, one people, one religious faith, and so forth, and how we've been truly blessed by Providence, or Providence has been pleased to give this one connected country. And so he's stating the obvious, though, and that's what he literally had to go out and do, is just kind of state the obvious. Now, in Washington's farewell address, he kind of brings up religion three times. Yesterday, I ended the show with what he stated in the verse, not the first paragraph. As a matter of fact, it would be the 10th paragraph. And his next comment on religion and its necessity is in the 27th paragraph. And he says, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and cherish them. A volume could not trace all their connections with private and public felicity. Let it simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths which are the instruments? Remember, I harp on this, that our oaths are the instruments of our public servants' compliance, anyway, which are the instruments of investigation in courts of justice. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. I'm at a hard break, but there's one more little part that he adds to this in a different paragraph, and I will get to that as soon as we get back. This is really important because it is paramount that we understand the paradigm and why and how they set up our republic. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And as we were just going into the break, I was alluding to the fact that in the 27th and then the 28th, Washington was pretty focused on the religious or the importance of religion and government. And he said in the 28th, chapter, he says, "It is substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government. The rule indeed extends with more or less force to every species of government. Who that is sincere friend to it can look with indifference upon attempts to shake the foundation of the fabric." Now, let me point out, if you understand, this is literally coming out at the end of Washington's tenure. Who was fighting who was in the throes of a revolution that was anti-religion was France. France was literally chopping the heads off of all the leaders of the religion, the monarchs, and so forth. Anybody who had any levels of authority, the head came off. And so he was definitely pointing out that here is a revolution of immorality. And if you look at what ended up happening to France, and actually it spread like wildfire throughout Europe as they secularized, they became godless people, and they've had nothing but problems ever since. If you think that they've been really blessed, just remember, Spain, and I like to point this out, if you understand Spain's position at this point in time, they were probably the richest nation in the world. How did they become the richest nation in the world? Well, they were stealing the gold, silver, and all of the riches from, because prior to the 1700s and prior to the 1600s, if you remember, the Spanish Armada, they were the conquerors, they were the empire before Britain became the world empire. And Britain was not an empire by really going out and stealing like Spain was.
Spain made, you know, they tried to create a wood bridge of ships, bringing back all the gold and riches from the New World and everywhere they could. And they were sitting on, you know, all of these riches. So the question I have is, why is it that Spain is in the throes of bankruptcy? What did they do with all that money? Obviously, they have spent it on opulence and indolence, period. And so that has been the rampant problem when you become a godless nation, because I believe the tenets of good hard work, good industrious people, and those types of things are the tenets of the Christian faiths of those people. And so these things, these types of decisions, as we change governments and as we change paradigms, they have consequences, folks. Big, costly consequences. But anyway, so let me move on, because another thing that Washington liked to harp on in these, and as a matter of fact, so religion was 3 points. There were 2 points that I'll get to last that talked about amending the Constitution. But the other thing that he, and most people are aware of this, but he talks about the party, and he doesn't talk about the party as in the Republicans and the Federalists and so forth. He just talks about the general nature of parties and factions. And he says, and this is in the 15th paragraph, in contemplating the causes which may disturb our union, it occurs as a matter of serious concern. I'm telling you, he knows this firsthand, because he saw the divisiveness of the factions and how the political parties were being pulled apart with Hamilton and Jefferson. And I talked about this earlier. And he says, it occurs as a matter of serious concern that any ground should have been furnished for characterizing parties by geographical discriminations, Northern and Southern, Atlantic and Western, and notice he didn't say Pacific, whence designing men may endeavor to excite a belief that there is a real difference of local interests and views, one of the expedients of party to acquire influence within particular districts is to misrepresent the options and aims of their districts. You can shield yourself too much against the jealousies and heartburnings which spring from these misrepresentations. They tend to render alien to each other those who ought to be bound together by fraternal affection. Interesting. And he starts noticing, and if you think about it, there is truth to how people self-aggrandize and misrepresent the needs of the one area over another. But there are uniquenesses, and that was a big part, because Washington was at the Constitutional Convention when Roger Sherman clearly identified that the interests of the states were definitely different than the interests of the people and the needs of that. But what Washington was talking about was more of a groupthink, like the slave states and the abolition states, instead of the sovereignty of the individual states, if that makes sense. And I think it does. I think you're following me on this. So here in chapter 17, he goes on and talks more about the party. And I'm just going to skim over a part of this. And he says, towards the end, he says, they serve to organize faction to give an artificial and extraordinary force to put in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of a party, often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction, rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common counsel and modified by mutual interest. Very insightful, because he's real. This is the one part of, I believe, his life that really kind of shows that he was far more philosophical and far deeper than, you know, than sometimes I give him credit for. But then I have to think back that who really wrote this And I truly believe that these parts, these little snidbits on the party, had more to do from his hand than it was Madison's or Hamilton's. Because as far as I'm concerned, I think that when Madison gave him this, the parties and the factions really weren't that big. By the time he was leaving office and he went to Hamilton, supposedly, quote unquote, that Hamilton's, why would Hamilton rail on, you know, the evils of party, when I truly believe that Hamilton probably would have identified the evils of one party over another, because that's kind of predictable with the kind of character Hamilton was. But again, he was a very shrewd man, and maybe he did want to make people, you know, I would have thought that, you know, if you look at how he did it in the Federalist Papers, because there is evidence of this, where Hamilton literally said, oh, well, that's just a red herring, and calling the federal court is going to be, you know, going beyond their boundaries, that, you know, these guys have the best interest of the nation at heart, and so forth. And he even says regarding the usurpations by the federal government, I mean, there wouldn't be any. There should be probably more usurpations by the state government than the federal government. And these comments are actually in his later Federalist Papers instead of in his earlier Federalist Papers. So you can actually start to see him start to shift and starting to understand, oh, well, you know, we're getting pretty close to this. I'm going to start changing my tune. And by the time he became the Secretary of the Treasury, he literally unleashed his wrath upon Jefferson and others. But let me get on to the next party segment. And this is paragraph 20. And he says, I have already intimated to you the danger of parties in the state, that with particular reference to the founding of them or geographical discriminations. Now let me take a more comprehensive view and warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party generally. And so that's kind of like the precursor of what he goes into. And that is chapter 20 or paragraph 20. The next part, which I don't really have the time to get into, it literally is the next four paragraphs, which is 22, 23, 24, and 25. If you want to go ahead and read ahead, that's what we're going to get into on Monday. But he really starts pointing out, and that's why I truly believe this was more done by his hand, and this kind of reflects Washington's philosophical wisdom, where I just cannot see how this really came from Hamilton and or Madison's hands. And this was the one thing that he was really frustrated with. He probably would have done another term other than the fact that he was just tired of the backbiting and the political posturing. He would have much rather probably just pulled out his pistol and shot these guys in the back. Because he just didn't tolerate that kind of insubordination and that behavior. But the decorum from the military discipline to political discipline is a huge, huge leap. And so I don't think he enjoyed his leap very much, or at least his political career that much. I think he really enjoyed his military life and his intimate relationships that he was able to make with his men. I know I'm out of time. The hard break is coming, so I want to let you know that I really enjoy working with you, and I enjoy the relationships and those of you who are reaching out. I am G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic with your help, and I do swear I need your help. So please continue and helping out and reaching out, and I will be back on Monday helping you Reclaiming the Republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.